This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and they're available in soft gels and liquid form. For more information, go to carlsonlabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We got lots to talk about this weekend, so you can start dialing 877-726-8255. If that sounds a little complex, let's just boil it down to 877-726-TALK, T-A-L-K. And we'd love to get you into the doctor's office so that you can pose your questions. But whether or not we get an onslaught of questions, we've got lots to talk about. Lots of things in the news this week. And among the stories that I want to cover for you this hour, a harmless painkiller has been associated with increased risk of cardiac arrest. Ooh, I hate when that happens. Cardiac arrest, pretty serious stuff. And parents often get it wrong about when kids should take antibiotics. They overestimate the efficacy and underestimate the side effects, according to a new study. We'll share the details with you in just a moment. We invite you to call us 877-26-TALK. But before we get to that, a story that I really want to share with you, and it's been all over the news. This is actually something that I foreshadowed a few months ago when I started talking about stem cell treatments and wrote an article in our newsletter, which you can receive by going to drhoffman.com. Just click on the box and put in your email, and on a weekly basis, you'll get news and dispatches from the health front by yours truly and by my team at Intelligent Medicine. But I talked about stem cells then, and I cast a dubious and skeptical eye on some of the practitioners who are purveying stem cells for all and sundry medical conditions that are devastating, hard to treat, and have no conventional answers. Conditions like ALS, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease. And it seems that when you go to one of these practitioners, whatever your malady, they're going to say that stem cells could work. I mean, look, the principle is sound, and there's lots of research ongoing about stem cells. Major research dollars are going into research on how we can regenerate organs. And so it stands to reason that if we take these stem cells, the stem cells are pluripotent. They have the potential to grow into anything that the body signals them to grow into. So say you've got cirrhosis of the liver and you're due for a liver transplant. Okay, well, theoretically, you could just inject some stem cells. They'll find their way to the liver and regenerate your liver. Say you've got advanced congestive heart failure. Your heart muscles are dead after a series of heart attacks, or after a severe viral infection wipes out your heart muscles. And so, okay, great. You take some stem cells. Maybe you harvest them from your tummy, the fat in your belly. These are called adipocytes. You suck out some of the fat and you spin down the stem cells, and then you inject them into a vein, and then they'll find their way to your heart and regenerate your cardiomyocytes to make your heart work again. Well, it's not quite so simple. And by dint of some regulatory loopholes, there are folks in my very community, in the integrative community, who are purveying stem cells as a panacea for all manner of really dead-end medical conditions for which there is no hopeful alternative. And in so doing, not only are they preying on the hopes of desperate patients and bilking them of big bucks, but they're also exposing them to the potential for grievous harm. And I point that out in my newsletter of a few months ago. And now, in the headlines this week, comes resounding confirmation of what I've been warning against. And it comes in the form of stem cell treatments for blindness, a major cause of blindness in older Americans is, of course, macular degeneration. And we have strategies for macular degeneration using nutrients, but they slow the progression. Maybe they'll somewhat reverse it, but they're not magical treatments to restore vision. They work. They're efficacious, but they are not going to take someone with advanced macular degeneration and return them to 20/20 vision. So in hopes of restoring their vision, older women went to a clinic in Florida. They paid $5,000 apiece to get stem cell treatments for their eyes, and the stem cells were injected directly into their eyeballs. And the results were catastrophic. It turned out that one of them completely lost their vision, two are severely vision impaired, and the injections literally homogenized the tissues in their eyes to the point where they had hemorrhages, they had retinal detachments, they had severe glaucoma because of increased intraocular pressure, and they were messed up big time due to these haphazard injections of stem cells that had been harvested from their belly fat. And what's interesting about this is that there's a big article about this in the New England Journal of Medicine. That's where the news agencies are getting their information from. And it is a comparison of what the bona fide stem cell researchers are doing in terms of this condition, macular degeneration, versus the practitioners out in the hinterlands of America who are offering this therapy willy-nilly without proper scientific vetting and without proper preparation of the stem cells. They report on the case of a woman with macular degeneration who is given stem cells, but prepared in a very, very careful and specific way, done according to the most strict scientific guidelines. You'll get lost in the weeds as I share this description with you, but this woman received a transplantation of stem cells derived from the patient's skin fibroblasts, but they were cultured almost like you would take grass seeds and array them in a turf and carefully monitor their growth. And you know how, like, sometimes the grass services arrive at your home and they unroll the turf, you know, in big sheets, the verdant green turf, and they put it down on your desert-like lawn. And it's like a transplant of green-growing grass seedlings that then take off and provide you with a perfect lawn. Well, that's the way that they did it for this woman who had age-related macular degeneration. And what happened was she received a transplant of a sheet of these cells in one eye, and 1 year after surgery, her vision had stabilized and there was no evidence of lasting adverse effects. Now, they're so careful about the way they do this, when they do it right, that they report that they had a second person lined up for this therapy, but in an exercise of extreme caution, they decided not to perform the transplantation because they genetically screened the cells that they were about to put into this woman's eye, and they said, they don't make the grade. They're not genetically compatible with what we're looking for, the precise type of stem cells that we want to put into this woman's eye that have the potential to restore her vision. So they withheld the therapy. That is appropriate scientific caution and conservatism. And that's the way that stem cell research should be done, not on people who show up with, rolls of bills saying, I need relief from a condition that no doctor says they can help me with. That, to me, is a betrayal of public trust and potentially exposing people to unnecessary risk. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll take your phone calls. 877-726-8255 is our number for questions. And we'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
You remodel your kitchen, you remodel your bathroom. Now remodel your gut. That's right, your gut. Any successful remodel job requires workers to show up with the necessary tools and ready to work. Well, it's just like that with probiotics. They need to come with prebiotics to encourage growth, as well as postbiotics to nourish the gut. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are the only brand of probiotics that do just that. Dr. O'Hara's is the only probiotic capsule that contains a rich nutritional prebiotic, along with a full spectrum of 12 selected probiotic strains and naturally derived postbiotics. During a 3-year fermentation process, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics create healthy, organic nutrients and the diversity of flora that are necessary for long-term digestive health. So remodel your gut today with the right workers. Get Dr. O'Hara's probiotics at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide today.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman with you. We're number 877-726-TALK. And we've got Jill on the line from New York. Thanks for calling, Jill.
Hi, doctor. Well, not a day goes by when I don't receive some ad for some magic vitamin supplement that's going to solve all my problems, which I usually ignore. But this one was kind of
You're in the demographic. You know, you've expressed at some point, you know, interest in this, and you're that age where, you know, they're just going to fill your mailbox or your email box full of pitches for one product or another. They got you pegged, Jill. You're a health aficionado. You're one of those consumers that's going to be a good target for that stuff.
Right. That's right. So this one was called Lectin Lock, and it kind of interested me. Are you familiar with it?
No. I don't know specifically that product, but I know there's a lot of products by that name. And, you know, leptin is a big buzzword these days, just like stem cell is a big buzzword. You know, they say, you know, put some stem cells on your face and rejuvenate your face. And unfortunately, the stem cells come from plants, like from the stems of plants. So they call them stem cells. And I don't really like those experimental stem cells that are carefully cultivated to rejuvenate skin fibroblasts. You know, that's technology that's in the works. So, you know, when it comes to leptin, you know, we actually did a really fine podcast that touched on the subject of leptin recently with Dr. Stefan Guionet, which you can catch at drhoffman.com. We just put it up. And it's a book entitled The Hungry Brain. And he talks about leptin as an appetite-regulating and as a weight-regulating hormone. And there's been a lot of interest in leptin these days because, well, it was thought to be the holy grail of controlling weight gain or weight loss. And there was an effort undertaken by the pharmaceutical industry to study it and characterize it and come up with a designer drug that could raise it because it turns out that leptin is something that, when it's deficient, you tend to really be hungry, okay? And so they figure, well, you know, give people leptin, and that's going to be the perfect appetite retarding hormone, you know, like a miracle drug. You know, just people won't want to eat anymore, and they'll lose scads and scads of weight. Well, it turns out there's something kind of complicated about leptin, and a little bit like insulin, because in the absence of insulin, you're in trouble. You have diabetes, and you need insulin shots. But it turns out that a lot of diabetics, so-called type 2 diabetics, who are non-insulin dependent, actually have too much insulin. They overproduce insulin. They are insulin resistant. The same thing happens with leptin. So when it comes to leptin, you know, the people are looking at different ingredients that will magically raise your leptin, but that isn't necessarily good because the problem is not enough leptin. The problem may be too much leptin and a lot of leptin resistance. So I think supplement manufacturers are jumping on this bandwagon, coming up with maybe some ideas on how leptin could be blocked or leptin could be enhanced. It depends on the company. Some companies say they want to enhance your leptin. Other companies say they want to block your leptin. I think they're more on track with blocking leptin. But if you block it down too much, you're going to be really hungry, right? That's the way it works. So among the suggestions that Stefan Gaine came up with, eating little to no simple starches or refined foods, sugars, and fructose, okay, relatively low-carb diet, that helps. Also consume a breakfast of healthy protein and fat early in the morning, and that'll set the stage for a better leptin profile. Also make sure you optimize your sleep, because sleep deprivation can increase leptin and increase leptin resistance. And don't snack, because when you snack, it keeps your liver working and your hormones don't get a break. So, you know, try and space your meals at least 4 hours apart. Even do a little caloric restriction. Eat early one night, you know, go to bed early, and then work out in the morning, and maybe have a brunch at 11 or 12 the next day. That's a caloric restriction fast. Exercise makes a difference, weightlifting in particular, and high-intensity interval training. Not so much just, you know, getting on a elliptical and, you know, reading the New York Times, you know, for 45 minutes at a leisurely pace. That's not going to do much for your leptins. And omega-3 fatty acids may help. You know, avoid inflammatory omega-6 fatty acids, because they may enhance leptin resistance. And those are more lifestyle strategies than taking a pill. So I kind of am dubious about the efficacy of the pill. Somebody from that company wants to get on the air and talk to me about it, push back on my assertion that that supplement is worthless. I can give them the time of day if it makes any sense. Okay?
Well, doctor, actually, I was asking about another lectin, not leptin.
Oh, lectin. Oh, well, yeah. Great. So that's another. We'll call us back and we'll talk about lectin. I got it as leptin. Yeah, lectins actually are something that may create leaky gut syndrome. And I'm not entirely sure either if the product that you're talking about is going to reduce the activity of lectins. You know, by virtue of one letter, we have an entirely different story. Lectins are thought to attack the gastrointestinal barrier and permit leaky gut syndrome, which can lead to autoimmunity. And again, I'm not sure that that supplement is going to make that much difference. There's certain lectin foods you want to avoid, and that would make more sense. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll be right back with more of Intelligent Medicine.
Congratulations! You've survived disco nights and 12-hour days, not to mention fast food and life in the fast lane. Now it's time to fight the effects of modern life in the digital age and aging itself with one of life's natural miracles, garlic. Its healing and health-giving properties are great, but what about the odor? Well, you don't need to eat raw cloves to get all the good things in garlic. Just take Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. University research confirms that Kyolic is the one true antioxidant garlic supplement. It helps defend you against free radicals and helps keep blood pressure and cholesterol in check. So if Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract can do everything researchers report, just think what it could do for you. See for yourself. For more information, go to Kyolic.com. That's Kyolic.com. Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. For people who take their garlic and their health seriously, look for Kyolic where quality natural supplements are sold.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Hoffman is here with you. And if you want to get in on the action, you can call us 877-726-8255. Or alternatively, you can email us your questions to radioprogram@AOL.com. Those will become grist for the mill for our weekly podcasts where we answer listener questions. It's our Q&A with Layla. Our Hoffman Center nutritionist joins me on Wednesdays usually to answer questions that you send via email. All right, this item, you know, high blood pressure, big problem for a lot of Americans over the age of 50. High percentage, nearly half, are taking medications to lower blood pressure, and it's never a free ride. Those medications always cause one side effect or another. And while it's necessary to lower blood pressure, it'd be infinitely preferable to lower your blood pressure naturally. So here's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure 10% or more naturally. And it's so effective that it works for 9 in 10 people. It's the Zona Plus. You heard me talk about it. It's a simple, handheld, smart device that you hold for 12 minutes once a day. It guides you through a patented therapy that's personalized to your unique physiology. It's great piece of technology. And at least 22 clinical studies confirm that regular use can result in an average decrease in blood pressure of 10% or more in just 4 to 8 weeks with no negative side effects. You can try it risk-free. Zona Health offers a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Try the Zona Plus for 3 months. That's pretty good. And see if it works for you. And if it doesn't, return it for a full refund. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 888-401-6141 or tryzona.com. And when you go there, you can enter the code name Hoffman on the website, and you'll get a $50 discount off your first purchase of the Zona. Okay, let's take a look at this study that I promised to share with you. Harmless, they put it in quotation marks, those Dr. Evil quotation marks, harmless painkillers associated with increased risk of cardiac arrest. Hate when that happens. That'll spoil my whole day. Painkillers considered harmless by the general public are associated with an increased risk of cardiac arrest, according to research published in the March issue of the European Heart Journal. What drugs are these that you can get easily over the counter and easily subject yourselves to? Well, they're the NSAIDs, the non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. NSAIDs are among the most commonly used drugs worldwide, and some are prescribed, but others are easily available over the counter. Ibuprofen, Motrin, Aleve, these are NSAIDs. And, you know, the researchers there at Copenhagen University in Denmark say allowing these drugs to be purchased without a prescription, without any advice or restrictions, sends a message to the public that they must be safe. But are they? The current study investigated the link between NSAID use and cardiac arrest. And what they found was that there was a distinct relationship. There were, you know, others that were prescription, diclofenac, naprosyn, and then there was, of course, Celebrex. These all are NSAIDs. What they found was that among use of the most commonly used NSAIDs increased the risk of cardiac arrest by 31%. 31%. So, all right, look, it's not to say everybody, you know, tens of millions of people are taking these medications, sometimes on a regular basis. So clearly the risk is low, but you increase your risk. And particularly, maybe you already have a predisposition to heart problems. So not a great idea. We already know that these drugs, in contradistinction to aspirin, aspirin's a blood thinner, will prevent heart attacks. These drugs may reverse the efficacy of aspirin, in effect thickening your blood. So the researchers in Denmark say, under no circumstances should you take more than 1,200 milligrams of ibuprofen per day. And naprosyn, they say, is the safest. The riskiest one is diclofenac. That should be avoided by patients with cardiovascular disease because it dramatically increases your risk for cardiac arrest. And there you have it, European Society of Cardiology. Okay, this item is about excess. This, you know, I got to do a good news story here. So these are bad news stories. I'm seeing a theme here. Medications are dangerous and people underestimate their risks is today's theme. Headline, parents often wrong about when kids should take antibiotics. According to Consumer Reports, they did a survey that suggests that some patients, parents, greatly overestimate how much prescribing antibiotics for kids will help, and also they'll underestimate the potential downsides. You know, that's what happens. You know, your kid's sick, you call the pediatrician, you bring your kid in, you say, do something, fix my kid. And the pediatrician is under pressure to A, do something, and B, protect his or her rear end, because God forbid something bad, some mishap should befall the child. So, you know, do the right thing just in case, prescribe an antibiotic. It's easy. Parents happy. You go home with a prescription. You feel like you got your money's worth. But what they found was that most parents think antibiotics help to cure a cough. Not true. 55% of adults believe that's the case. Sore throat, 70%. Not true. An ear infection, 92%. Sometimes true, but most often not. And this is a conservative estimation by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC. Almost 30% of the time when doctors prescribe antibiotics for kids, the medications aren't needed or warranted. So, yeah. A survey of 155 U.S. emergency department and primary care doctors found that physicians' concerns about patient satisfaction ratings influence their practice. Hey, now you can go on Yahoo and doctors are ready. You know, just like movies, you know, like thumbs down, thumbs up. And a doc who doesn't, who isn't forthcoming, who's stingy about antibiotics, I wasted my time. I went to that doctor. He just said, your kid's going to be fine. Go home. Give him some, give him some honey and lemon tea. Let him rest. You know, take a Tylenol if you want, but no biggie. Well, that doctor may not get a good rating. So what about the downsides? The Centers for Disease Control revealed that side effects from antibiotics, most commonly severe allergic reactions, are responsible for more than 65,000 children being rushed to the emergency room every year. Can you imagine if it was like a faulty crib or car seat for a kid? 65,000 emergency room visits? No, it's antibiotics. Boy, they would immediately ban that consumer item. There would be an alert. You know, they'd have to be some product recall. For children younger than five, side effects from antibiotics such as amoxicillin, azithromycin, are the leading cause of ER visits due to adverse drug effects. So, moreover, using all those antibiotics in kids create superbugs. Then the antibiotics, when you need them, are not efficacious. And in addition, there are studies that suggest that antibiotics make kids weigh more, make them more prone to obesity, make them more prone to allergies. I know this for a fact in my population of patients with inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, and Crohn's disease. Taking antibiotics as a child, major risk factor for ulcerative colitis and Crohn's. Sometimes we see the kids with acne. They get tons of antibiotics, cures the acne, but later they show up with inflammatory bowel disease. So, you know, even this 65,000 kids per year being rushed to the ER, that may be the tip of the iceberg. The chronic long-term effects of overzealous antibiotic administration are a big problem for this upcoming generation among millennials and for generations to come as we deploy ever stronger antibiotics to treat relatively minor infections in kids. All right, let's pause. When we return, more of Intelligent Medicine. We invite your phone calls, 877-726-8255. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
You're listening to Intelligent Medicine, brought to you by yours truly and the Hoffman Center. You can find a lot more on Intelligent Medicine at drhoffman.com. Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine podcast and automatically get a new episode 5 days a week. And please rate and review the podcast on iTunes to help us spread the word about Intelligent Medicine. Also, go to drhoffman.com and click on the store to buy your supplements via our convenient internet portal or call the Hoffman Center and talk to one of our friendly supplement advisors. We only stock the very highest quality supplements, some of which are very hard to find elsewhere, the very same supplements I prescribe to my patients at the Hoffman Center. Finally, become a patient at the Hoffman Center. I'll personally perform an extensive workup on you, applying all the Intelligent Medicine principles you hear about on the radio show and podcast, or make an appointment with Layla Mudin, our Hoffman Center nutritionist. You already know her as a frequent contributor on Intelligent Medicine, and she'll provide you with expert advice on diet and supplements. Thanks for listening and for helping to spread the word about Intelligent Medicine.
Do you know there is a silent killer living among us? High blood pressure. It affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans and is a primary risk factor for stroke and heart attack. The CDC estimates that almost 20% of those with high blood pressure don't even know they have it. That's not surprising, since high blood pressure or hypertension is often symptomless. Research studies have shown that a daily dose of aged garlic extract can safely and effectively help to reduce blood pressure, as well as benefiting a number of other cardiovascular risk factors. And the most researched and highly respected aged garlic extract is all-natural Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Odorless and organically grown, Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract has been clinically tested to support blood pressure and cardiovascular health. So, along with getting your blood pressure checked regularly, get Kyolic Formula 109 for blood pressure and cardiovascular support today. Available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Dr. Ronald Huffman with you. And before we get to calls, if you're suffering from fatigue or debilitation, whatever the cause, age, illness, just being run down, consider NT-Factor from Nutritional Therapeutics. It's a product I've been using for a long time personally, recommending it to patients. NT-Factor repairs damaged cells and restores healthy bacteria in your digestive tract. And clinical trials have shown that NT-Factor reduces fatigue by almost half. And it even reverses some symptoms of aging. NT-Factor is available in ProPax, which is a one-stop shop for your vitamin and mineral needs. But a while ago, I suggested to Nutritional Therapeutics that some people may want to keep their favorite multi and fish oil product and harness the power of NT-Factor alone. So a new product, Healthy Aging, was born. It's the perfect accompaniment to whatever supplement regimen you're already taking. It's NT-Factor, pure and simple, providing you with a unique energy support of pure NT-Factor and a potent delivery system. I've been taking NT-Factor for years, as I said, and there's a 45-day money-back guarantee. You have nothing to lose. To order ProPax or Healthy Aging, call 800-982-9158. That's 800-982-9158, or go to ntfactor.com. That's ntfactor.com. Now let's hear from Tina, who's calling from I don't know where. How are you, Tina?
I'm okay.
Where are you calling from, Tina?
Someone who is not okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where do you live? Where are you calling from?
It's called Millstone Township, little town called Clarksburg in New Jersey.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks for calling. What's up with you?
I'm calling about someone who was found to have blood sugar level of 1,000.
Oh, my goodness gracious. That is astronomically high. Okay.
Yes. Diagnosis, diabetes.
Yeah, okay, we clinched the diagnosis. Thank you very much. It was pretty obvious. Yeah.
He's still in the hospital with repeated infections.
Yeah.
Kidney function has shut down.
Yes.
He is now on dialysis.
Ay, ay, ay.
Can a kidney ever be restored?
No, well, okay, it's tough for me to say from afar, but look, this is a train wreck. This is insulin-dependent diabetes run amok. I mean, typically when people are discovered to have insulin-dependent diabetes, it develops gradually and might get picked up when your blood sugar goes to, say, 200, 300, but 1,000 means that you are way down the line. And the result is end-organ damage. The organs that are particularly damaged by diabetes are the eyes, the nerves, the kidneys, the heart, the blood vessels, and, of course, the brain. And the kidneys take a beating, especially when you concurrently have hypertension. So what can be done, you know, is right now this is a matter of, you know, acute care. You know, he needs to be dialyzed. We need to control that blood sugar. It's probably beyond the scope of nutritional therapy with vitamins. And besides, under those circumstances, they're so loath to allow patients to take vitamins. And often patients are hooked up to IVs and, you know, they don't want anything new to be put into the mix. But, you know, this is a patient who's probably rife with nutritional deficiencies. It's undoubtedly true that they're low in magnesium, although you have to be very careful with magnesium in patients on dialysis. They're low in vitamin D, which can be given quite readily when patients have kidney failure. It is often given by nephrologists, kidney specialists for dialysis patients. You know, maybe there's a patient that has zero essential fatty acids. Fatty acids actually help with blood sugar control. But it's a tough situation. And, you know, I wonder what the prelude to this was. Were there no warning signs? Was the patient diabetic for a long time and didn't take care of themselves properly? Did it come out of the blue because they were getting substandard medical care? You know, all these facts remain kind of unclear to me. So, Tina, thanks for sharing that question. It's just a tough situation all around. All right. Answering a question that a lot of women have, and this almost from the beginning of my career, there's been this question about the role of soy in breast cancer. We know that soy contains estrogen-like compounds. So you'd say, well, that doesn't sound good because you don't want to take estrogen if you've got breast cancer. But the fact remains that in Asia, it's pretty clear that in an Asian culture where kids start eating soy at a very young age, I don't know that many kids who love tofu in America or start eating soy at a very young age. Maybe your parents are macrobiotic or vegans. Yeah, you do. But most Americans learn to like soy later in life or sometimes think of adding soy if they develop a cancer like prostate cancer or breast cancer. But then the question is it beneficial after you develop breast cancer, or is it simply protective against breast cancer? And the question has been partially answered by a study recently published in the journal Cancer. According to the study, and this study was done by Dr. Fangfang Zhang at Tufts University, Dr. Zhang and her colleagues looked at the relationship between dietary intake of isoflavones and the risk of death from any cause in over 6,000 American and Canadian women diagnosed with breast cancer. Okay, so, you know, they basically surveyed them. You know, are you taking in soy? And what they found is that over 9 years, women with breast cancer who consumed high amounts of isoflavones, that's the estrogen-like compound in soy, had a 21% lower risk of dying than women who consumed low amounts. Okay, now, this seemed to be most effective for women who had hormone receptor negative tumors and women who weren't taking estrogen blockers. Now, interestingly enough, the two ways that soy works against cancer. One is it seems to work against the cancer replication itself. It does something to a pathway by which cancer cells replicate, whether or not they're hormone sensitive. But also, soy acts as kind of a hormone blocker. It has estrogenic properties, but drugs like tamoxifen, which is a popular hormone blocking drug used for cancer, has certain of the properties of soy. It is a selective estrogen receptor modulator. And what that means is that it fits like a lock into a key, but it gums up the work of the estrogen receptor. And it's like putting glue in a lock. And then that estrogen receptor can't be activated by the body's own estrogen. And so, in effect, it's a hormone blocker. Well, soy does that to some extent. And the study suggests that not only is soy safe to take for women with breast cancer, but may be beneficial, especially in hormone receptor negative breast cancer. Maybe subsection of women with hormone receptor positive breast cancer would do better to stay away from soy. But that helps to clarify this decades-long question. Is soy good or bad for women who have been diagnosed with breast cancer? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Stay with us. We got an hour more of Intelligent Medicine. Come back and enjoy it with us.
Hi, this is Dr. Ronald Hoffman for Carlson Fish Oils. Fish oil provides the vital omega-3s, EPA, and DHA, which support cardiovascular, brain and nerve, vision, immune system, joint, and skin health. Carlson ensures maximum freshness by managing their fish oils from sea to shelf. They source only the highest quality deep cold water fish using traditional sustainable methods. All Carlson fish oils are tested by an FDA-registered laboratory for freshness, potency, and purity, and 28 of their fish oils have received the highest 5-star rating from the International Fish Oil Standards Program. Carlson is the number one selling liquid fish oil brand in the United States. Carlson's award-winning omega-3 nutritional supplements are available in soft gels and liquid form for those who have trouble swallowing supplements or who prefer this delivery method. For more information, go to CarlsonLabs.com. CarlsonLabs.com. Carlson fish oils are available at fine health food stores nationwide.